Greet each and everyone. It's a beautiful morning, a little chilly, but it was still nice. I'm going to read Psalms 139. It says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path, my lying down, and art acquainted with my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thou shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, as yet there was none of them. How precious also are the thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For when they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee. I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We just see that wherever we are, God is there. Even when we're maybe places we don't care to be, don't want to be, God is still there. So this time, Jonas is going to have devotions and Laverne the message.
One. I see a lot of smiling faces, and that's, you know, when you look at a church and you think of it as the bride of Christ, and just, I count it a privilege and a responsibility to be here and be able to talk to the bride of Christ. And I'm sure that those smiles will be recognized. This morning, my thoughts didn't come together very promptly, but they did come together. And so I trust that what I have to say could also be what the Lord wants to be said this morning. But I want to ask the Spirit of the Lord this morning. And so why don't we stand and just pray, welcome the Spirit of the Lord this morning, and also pray for the person on your right. And those of you who are on the end, pray for the person on the other end of your line. I think it's just to kind of get a little bit of a feeling of togetherness. And so let's stand. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for that. This morning, my title is Be Strong and of Good Courage. And one thing I will say is that I do not have this accomplished. And so I count myself not to have apprehended it, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what I want to do this morning. This morning, let's look into Joshua chapter 1. When I think of strong and courageous, it kind of makes me think of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Verse 9. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That verse has been running through my mind this past week, and it's just been one of those things that kind of keeps you coming back. And And notice here how it's not a request, it's a command. I've commanded you, be strong and of good courage. And so I kind of found the verse and decided to study into it a bit, and just what it means to be strong and of good courage. And so I looked it up in the it'd be the Hebrew. And strong actually kind of has a different meaning, and courage also has a different meaning than what I thought it did in the Hebrew. Strong means to seize or take hold on, and courage means to be steadfast in mind. So when you think about strong and courageous, to take hold with a steadfast mind. And one thing I just happened to notice here is he was reading like this promise in the end of verse 9 here. For the Lord is thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. It's true, but in verse 7 it says, observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. And so for point number one, I have study the word with a mind to take hold on it, with a steadfast mind. Observe to do it. And just for myself, when you study something and you make it personal for yourself, it means a lot more for yourself or for myself than when I listen to it. And doing that, it says meditate on it day and night. Like, you can't always just be in your Bible all day and all night, obviously. So, like, memorizing scripture, like, something that's going to stick with you, or even writing it down in a card and sticking it in your pocket to pull out in time of need. Like, yeah, just something to meditate on that's going to keep you where you need to be and keep your thoughts from going places that they shouldn't. Point number two, I have seek to be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. And for that, let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 9. I'm going to read verse 9 through 16. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And I just think it's interesting, in the beginning of the chapter here, Paul and Paul was basically saying how, like, I heard about you guys, and Ephratus in verse 7 told us about who you guys are, and in verse 8 declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And then in verse 9 it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, we don't cease to pray for you. We want this for you. And to know the will of God for you. And that's one thing for me, if I want to be strong and of good courage, to seek out the will of God in my life. Know where he wants me to be. And don't leave that peace circle. Like, if you're not at peace, there's something wrong that you're doing that's not according to the will of God. And stay inside of that peace zone. And I think one thing about knowing the will of God is it doesn't come about but by prayer. not only for yourself, but also for others. Praying for other people also often separates your own needs from your wants. And point number three, I have to know what you're fighting against and for what reason. And for that, I'm going to go to Ephesians 6, verses 11 to 16. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith she shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're fighting against spiritual wickedness in high places, brothers, not against each other. And I'm not trying to say that, to say that anybody is, but for myself, like, sometimes it is easy for me to think that that person over there is the reason for my problems here, and it's oftentimes not that way. When you stop and you notice the little details, and you notice the position for their motive, there's oftentimes a good reason behind it. And come to the realization that we're shooting for the same goal. We have the same end in mind. And it's not people we're fighting against, but it's a spirit in people. And how do you fight against the spirit that's in people and not them? And I think for myself, when I think about that, it comes down to prayer. Like, so oftentimes, for me anyways, if there's an argument or something that I'm getting wrapped up into, it's really easy to let your words not be something that's glorifying to God. And if you pray for them, and pray, you know, pray that God would bless them more than he blesses you, it changes your perspective about that person. Don't allow people to become a point of conflict, but take into consideration the spirit in them and the motive for their position. Pray for them. Yesterday, I was working on my Jeep, and I was trying to get the wheel bearing out, and some of you guys that know what wheel bearings consist of and how ornery they can be, it just would not come apart. And I had this press thing that O'Reilly's had there, and just trying to get this thing out. Well, I was working with it for hours. Finally, I called my brother and asked him if he could come over and help me with it for a little bit. And he's like, well, sure, he can come for 30 minutes. And he come over there, and he looked at it, and he's like, well, I think the press fitting that you have isn't fitting through. And we took it apart, and here I had been working with this thing for a couple hours. And all that was wrong was just this little press fitting would not fit through the housing. And I was getting frustrated with this thing. And I guess what I took from that is that, like, if I would have taken the time to consider the little details about that part, it would have changed the outcome drastically. And I think that in personal relationships, if we take the time to consider the little details about it, and consider and just take the time to step back and think about it logically and maybe the little things, I think there's going to be a different outcome. And yeah, this is with the point of know what you're fighting against and why, so that you can be strong and be of good courage. And the last point I have is claim the promises. This I read it there in Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded thee, be of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God will be with thee whithersoever thou goest. Isaiah 43:1-3, I'll turn to that real quick. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. And Revelations 3:17-22. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and blind and naked, and poor and blind and naked, I console thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. There's promises in Scripture, and I think for myself, and just maybe the reason that this topic come up is that I haven't always been strong. I haven't always been of good courage, and so it's something that I needed to study into. And if I can claim those promises, and if we can claim those promises, I think it's going to do a lot more for us. And remember them. God put those there for a reason. They're for our good. They're so that we can be strong and we can be of good courage. So this morning, be strong and be of good courage, brothers. God is for us. That's all I have. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, come to you this morning and thank you and praise you for another day. Thank you that you have given us life and that you've shined your light upon us, Lord. Thank you for each and everyone here, Lord. Lord, just pray that your presence could settle on every heart here. Lord, just that you would be with us as we journey through this land, and Lord, just that as we come to the end of life, Lord, and we show ourselves faithful, Lord, a home in heaven is what we ask, Lord. Lord, just pray today that as we go through life, Lord, that for myself and for those here with us here this morning, Lord, just pray that we can view each other as not a point of conflict, but Lord, just that we can consider the motives in each other and why, and Lord, that it may be for good. Lord, just pray a blessing on the rest of the service. Lord, pray for Laverne as he brings the message. Lord, pray for your hand upon him, and Lord, that your words could be in his mouth this morning. Lord, I ask this all in your Son's holy name. Amen.
What? Greetings to each one this morning in the precious name of Jesus, the Almighty, who has lengthened out our days to see another Sunday here, another opportunity to worship. Welcome each one here this morning. Welcome to our visitors as well. We cherish your presence here and are thankful that you can be here. You know, to what's been shared already, I can say amen. The thoughts there in Psalms 139 of the Lord searching us, the reality that we can't be anywhere that he's not aware of, adds a dimension to life that we need to be mindful of and that we need to be reminded of sometimes. So thank you, Arnold, for that reminder. And also the devotional, being strong and of good courage, a lifelong journey, something that was outlined as we considered some of those thoughts and points, the necessity to be a prayer warrior, to be discerning, and to simply be open to God's direction in our life. So thank you, Jonas, for those thoughts and reminders as well. My thoughts, I guess, started coming together a little bit as I was going to the barn here just the other morning. Walking out there in the morning, you know, I was just reflecting a little bit. It's like, you know, I've walked this same path every morning, probably a few mornings I didn't, but for 17 years, just walking this path to the barn, going through a routine that I do every day. And I was just startled with the thought of the passing of time. You know, how could it be that I've been in Michigan that long? It just, I guess, kind of startled me, just the thought of time. And so that's the title that I want to consider this morning, is just time. And I'd like to start in Ecclesiastes 3. We'll read some scripture there and consider this subject a little bit. The first 9 verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? You know, as we think of life, and as we consider life a bit, maybe one of the hardest things that we as humans have, or one of the hardest lessons maybe in life that we struggle to learn, is that we don't always see what we think we see. Do you ever find it that way? To kind of give the idea that's on my mind, I guess, I'm going to share a little story here. The children often enjoy if there's something they can relate to or a mind picture that they can put into focus a little bit, and I don't know if this story is true or not. I'll just relate it as I read it, and we'll kind of try to gather the thought that's there. But in this story, it was on a dark night, and it was years ago, and the trains, as they moved trains around, they didn't have their modern means of global positioning and all that we have. They had a signal man with a lantern that would signal to the engineer as to when he should go or keep coming or time to stop and that sort of thing. And this took place on a dark night, and they were moving a train into a siding, I believe. And so the signal man was up on top of the boxcar in the back with his lantern, and he was signaling to the engineer to keep coming. And he dropped his lantern. As he was signaling, he dropped his lantern, and it crashed onto the ground. But there was a passerby just standing there, walking by, and so he just picked it up and tossed it back up to the signalman, and he continued signaling to the engineer to keep coming. But the train stopped, and it just sat there. And after a bit, the engineer came running back there to where the signalman was. He was all out of breath, and he looked up at him, and he said, "I would like to see you do that again." And he said, "Do what?" He said, "Jump from the top of that boxcar down to the ground, and then jump back up there where you're at. I want to see that." In his mind, what he saw was that signalman holding that lantern, signaling to him. And there could be no other way for that lantern to go from the top of the boxcar down to the ground and back up outside of, obviously, the man had to jump. And so he came back to check it out. Darkness distracts and distorts reality. Light always clears it up. When the engineer came back there and realized the truth of the matter, he could understand that what he saw was not what he thought he saw. And so I'd like to think about this scripture that we just read here in Ecclesiastes. Solomon writing here, he's referring to time, something that we're all involved in. None of us can escape time. Time has an effect on each of our lives. You know, even just this morning, we all watched the clock. We looked up at the clock. It was time for the service to start, and so we went and found our seat. And as we look across this, especially the first couple chapters here, what it appears that we see is that Solomon is just simply seeing vanity in everything he looks at. And I'd like to just consider this thought a little bit of time and wonder and ask the question, is there some lessons that God would have us to learn as we go through our many, many activities in life? And so that's the first thought or point that we want to consider, is that time gives structure to life. Time gives structure to life. Verse 1 there, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. You know, as we read through these first 9 verses here, it seems like Solomon's observing, and what we see and what we first would gather is that it's just everything is going back and forth. One activity is mentioned, and then the next activity cancels it out. Right down through every verse there that we read. And we could almost get the picture that Solomon's looking at life and time and all of that and just concluding and saying, you know, it's senseless. This routine is just, it gets us nowhere. Solomon's just caught in an uncaring, constant motion of time, and the only escape from it is death. But you know, if I'd like to just think about what Solomon has written here. You know, he did mention through Ecclesiastes, I think we find the word vanity 37 times. He's arrived at that conclusion numerous times. But as I looked at this and thought about it a little bit, could it be that as Solomon is talking about time here, could there be more to what he's suggesting than what we first see when we look at it? Could it be that time, as we know it, is evidence of God's involvement in people's lives? Could that be where he's coming from? Time is evidence of God's involvement in people's lives. You know, in verse 1 there, it mentions that there's, to everything there's a season. And if we look that word up in the Hebrew, it says it's an appointed occasion. To everything there is an appointed occasion. And we're thinking now of time being evidence of God being involved in people's lives. Solomon's recognizing that there's a level of control that we don't often maybe think about or realize, coming from somewhere other than what we see on the surface. Almighty God that created the time that we live in has appointed occasions in our life. And it seems to me that maybe that's the structure of time that Solomon is pondering here as we just sit with him a little bit and consider life and the reality of time, the restraints of time that we live in. You know, Solomon was a wise man. And he understood a lot of things. And he realized that his father David had a long, hard struggle to build the kingdom. Solomon knew that. David's life was difficult. His life was in danger many times. He was hated. He was sought after. And it was, Solomon understood that his father's life was a long, hard struggle. And Solomon also knew that a lot of the songs that his father penned, a lot of the psalms that he wrote, often the word rejoice was mentioned there. Shout for joy was another one of his father's familiar lines. Sing. Praise God. And now Solomon is pondering this. And he also knows that he's sitting in a peaceful, secure kingdom as the son of his father. He's surrounded with riches, he's surrounded with honor, he has power, he's living in an almost unheard of luxurious setting that even the mainstream media, the Queen of Sheba came, she got her information from, we would say, the mainstream media. What she heard, what was going around about Solomon, when she came to verify it, she said, well, the half wasn't even told. Solomon's realizing all of that. And he knows that according to what wisdom would tell him, that he should be one of the happiest men that was alive. And yet vanity is what he sees when he ponders time. So I'd like to think a little bit about some of this stuff that Solomon penned here and just consider God's involvement in our lives in relation to this point of time giving a structure to our lives. He mentions here birth and death. That's all in the hands of God. But you know, the rest of these things that are mentioned here are a lot of the choices that we're faced with in everyday life. And Solomon is saying, blessed is the person. I mean, I'm just kind of putting this in my own words, but it almost seems as if Solomon is saying, blessed is the person that knows what time it is. And we don't have time to go through here and make every one of these comparisons that are listed here, but let's just look at a few and consider and you take the rest of them and make application as well. But verse 4. Blessed is the person who knows what time it is. Should we laugh or should we cry? You know, there's times in life when we do cry. There's good reasons to cry. It's necessary to cry. There's times in life that we laugh. There's light moments. And there's times that we feel like we could cry. And maybe the best thing to do would be laugh instead. And the pondering here is just simply, do we know what time it is? God's involved in the events of my life. I don't have to try to decipher whether, as Jonas mentioned, whether this is right or whether it should be this way or whether it should be another way. But I'm measuring my time and my days and considering God's involvement in my life and realizing that there's a time to laugh or a time to cry. And blessed is the person who knows what time it is. If we look at verse 5, it mentions a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. Many times in Scripture, stones are referred to as building material. We think of a footer, something that we can build on, something that's solid, that the construction can be put on and it can stand there. And again, just Solomon pondering his father's life, pondering his own life, considering some of the conclusion he's come to. And he's saying, you know, there's things to build on, or we're going to be faced with the choice of saying, no, we're not going to build on that. We're not going to gather that together. We can't build on that. And there's a time to scatter some of that. There's things we embrace, and there's things that are not to be embraced. And again, blessed is the person that knows what time it is. Verse 6 mentions throwing away. You know, we live in a very much a throwaway society, don't we? It's just the thought of saving anything is kind of old school anymore. And again, just what's wise, what isn't. We need God's involvement in our daily lives. Time to rend, a time to sow. You know, again, just there's things that we need to separate from. And there are things and times and places that if things getting a little thin, we need to give it a little extra care and sew it back together again, so to speak. So anyway, that was just a couple thoughts that as I considered this thought in verse 1 here of to everything there is a season. There's a purpose. Our Father knows what He's doing in our lives. It's not just a senseless existence that's going round and round in circles, following the same path year after year after year, with no end in sight. I think the challenge here is that we need to be mindful that there is another one that is in control of the events of our lives, and we can gain, we can learn, and we can pick up knowledge from the structure of time that it gives to our life. You know, time is something that is an absolute. God has made it. God set it in motion, and only God is going to say when time is over. So it's an absolute. And if we look at the universe that God created, evidently he thought time was necessary. If we consider just the universe we live in, the rotation and the motion of everything, the timing of full moon, the timing of eclipses, you know, men can predict that to within the minute because God has created something that is very strictly adheres to time without wavering and without fail. You know, even if you look at history, if the writer from history mentioned a certain event, such as the sighting of a comet or something of that nature, we can date that to the exact date because of the time that God has created and the structure of time. In 1962, there was a man that tried an experiment trying to decipher or discover how humans relate to time, or how they would relate without being aware of time as best they could. And so this man went down into a cave hundreds of feet below the surface of the earth, where it was totally dark, and he was planning to live there for 2 months. And he had a connection with his support team up on the surface. All his supplies were with him in the cave. It was totally dark outside of just the one light bulb that he had. But he had no idea what time it was. He ate when he got hungry. He slept when he got tired. And he would call his team on the surface whenever he ate, and they would document that. He would call them when he woke up. They would document that. And as he felt himself getting tired, as he was ready to go to sleep, he would again call them. And so they were documenting all of that, but they never called him because he was to have no indication of any time or passing of time. And it was kind of interesting. There was times that he slept for 2 hours. And there was times that he slept for 18 hours. And he didn't know the difference. He went down into the cave on July the 16th, and he was expecting to come up on September the 14th. A two-month period of time. And when they called him and notified him that his time was up, he thought it was August the 20th. He thought he still had a month to go. Time gives structure to life. You know, we need time. Even as much as we, you know, our society is just time-driven. You know, we, from the time the alarm clock gets us up to the schedules we have to meet, the appointments we have to meet, it just seems sometimes like it's run, run, run. But in reality, I think God knew what he was doing. When we have no sense of time, that man he wasn't keeping up. He was a month behind. So maybe if we think we're running behind now with our busy schedules, if we had no idea what time it was, we'd probably be further behind maybe. But Anyway, I found that interesting. We need the structure of time in our life. It's good for us. It's evidence that God is involved in our life. And it's not just an endless cycle of vanity, as we would first maybe gather as we read through Solomon's writings here. But it's actually a day-by-day, a day-by-day journey of appointed occasions that we're encountering. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. The structure of time gives purpose to life. And so my encouragement to us is that we embrace that and find it to be meaningful. Moving on to the second point is the thought of the use of time. That's something that faces each one of us every day. We have 24 hours before us. How do we use them? What are we going to do with them? Is there things I should do? Is there things I shouldn't do? And we're constantly faced with this use of time. I was wondering a little bit what Scripture has to say about time. And I just jotted down a list of, I'll just read them off. We won't turn to all these passages, but just a list of some verses that would give us an idea of what Scripture has to say about time. Psalm 103, verses 15 and 16. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Job 14, 1 and 2. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Isaiah 40, 6 through 8. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. 1 Peter 1:24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. As we consider Scripture's view of time, we are impressed with the shortness and the brevity of life. You know, we're only here for such a short space of time. James would tell us that our life is even as a vapor. It's just here for a little while and then it vanishes away. But it mentions several times there that the word of the Lord, the word of God, endureth forever. Did you ever ponder the question, going back again to thinking of Solomon? Did you ever ponder why did Solomon's spiritual perspective shrink as he grew older? Why did Solomon's spiritual perspective shrink as he grew older rather than expand? Why is that? Did you ever ponder that question? Did you ever ponder the question, could it happen to me? Could that happen to me? You know, those are some serious questions. As we think of time, we often divide it into three dimensions. We think of past, present, and future. That's often the way time is thought of or divided out. But is that really true? We know there's past and we know there's future, but if we think of time, we have no ability to rewind time. It's impossible to go back on time that has expired, time that has passed, time that is behind us. There's no way that we can go back and bring that to current and relive that moment. It's gone. And there's no way that we can fast forward and gain anything from the future. So the only thing right now is the only time, really, that we have. And if I don't capture the moments as they come and make use of them with a purpose, I'm never going to have that particular moment again. And you know, as we ponder that a little bit, it gives, we feel the sense of responsibility. As we consider the brevity of life, as we realize that the shortness of the time that we have here, and that our days are all numbered, God only knows, but they are. One by one, we're chalking them off, so to speak. I have a little poem here. It says, the title is New Time. Time is a treasure. How shall we use it? We can make it useful or can abuse it. Only the giver can make our hearts wise, teaching us daily the new time to prize. Time is a treasure, so view it, my soul. Keep all its spending neath watchful control. Employ each moment in God's holy fear, and He will ensure thee a happy new year. Employ each moment in God's holy fear. And as we think of, well, there's a fact that is kind of burdening in the idea or thought that things that are filled with danger are often not what they appear to be. We catch a fish with bait that has a hook hidden inside of it, right? And we have an adversary that is very interested in how we spend our time. And things are not always as they appear, in the sense that something that appears like bait could very well have a hook that is hidden within it. In 2 Corinthians, we read in the scripture that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And as we consider this thought of time and the use of time, I think one of the baits that has a hidden hook, so to speak, within it is this trap of putting off until tomorrow something that we know God expects of us. Well, I'll get it. It's an uncomfortable situation. We'll look at it sometime, but not today. As we consider employing each moment in God's holy fear, we can be challenged from Scripture that if God lays something on our heart, let's don't push it off. This moment that we have is all that we have, and we're not guaranteed. Tomorrow never comes, they say. And so just, that was a challenge that stood out to me, I guess. Scripture says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. So a redemptive use of time is to seize the moment that we have. And as we think of this thought of expanding our spiritual perspective as we grow older, I'd like to turn to Psalm 91 and just read that blessed psalm. I think it's a great, it lists a lot of services that God offers to travelers that are traveling through time. And to travelers that are exposed to a lot of dangers and travelers that are exposed to a lot of hardships, this psalm shows a lot of services that God offers. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Isn't that a touching, encouragement as travelers, as we move through time, as we meet difficulties, as we meet dangers on the road, so to speak? There's a whole list of services that are offered here. Covered. Well, actually, if we back up and look at the first verse there, the secret place, and then abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Time in secret with God delivers me from the traps and the baited hooks that are all around me. He that dwelleth in the secret place is going to live under the shadow of the Almighty. Covered with the wings of God in verses 4 through 6. Doesn't that just have a comforting thought? Isn't that a blessed place to be? Covered with the wings of God. No need to be afraid. And then he mentions the gentle ministry of angels. Verse 15. I read that and it just He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. It's worth our while to be in trouble if we have such a companion. It's not a good use of time to simply try and avoid what we call trouble, something that stands in our way, something that's uncomfortable. It's worth our while to be in trouble if we have such a companion. And it, to me, was a, as we think of the use of time, may we not waste the only part of time that we have control over, and that is today. And point number three is just a reminder. We're all aware of this, I know, but just a reminder again. Time will run out for me someday. Time will run out for me someday. I'd like to close with reading some scripture from 2 Peter chapter 3. Verses 8 through 18. The last part of 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Verse 8 begins there with just simply the timelessness of God. God has no beginning. And it just again reminds us that the timelessness of God. And then he moves on, verse 11 through 13 there. And we can ask ourselves the question, do I believe that this earth is going to end in a fiery meltdown? Do I believe that? If I do, does it affect the way I live in this life? The Hebrew writer points out the fact that it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And as I looked at that, I guess I thought of something that I never really thought of before. Appointed unto man once to die. There's an appointment that each of us have, that time will run out for us someday, whether we through death or the second coming of the Lord. But it's appointed unto man once to die. But the scripture talks about a second death. But it just struck me, I guess, that that's not an appointment. The second death is not an appointment. It says it's appointed unto man once to die. The second death is a result of our choices. While we're in time. You know, if we look at verse 9 here that we just read in 2 Peter, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all, that's God's desire, that all should come to repentance. There's no appointment for a second death there. May we all feel the invitation of a loving God. And if there's, through his dealing with us in this time, in this structure of time, if we feel his call, let's not push him off. It's not his will that any perish. And if we look at verse 18, the last verse here, grow in grace. You know, that's a lifelong experience. That's not something that we just one day wake up and we've arrived there. No. You know, as we grow physically, there's a time that we quit growing. As we're young children, we eagerly measure how much we've grown in the last month, year, whatever. But there's a point physically where we quit growing. But spiritually, God would never have us to stop growing. You know, sometimes we grow rapidly, sometimes more slowly. Sometimes we grow through joy, sometimes we grow through heaviness, but it's always a steady onward and upward movement or motion until our appointed time comes. And then time is no more. You know, we often sing that song, Faithful Men, written by Enos Stutzman. My father told me was it last week or the week before? I don't remember. Just recently, anyway, he was at Enos's viewing. And I thought of one of the lines or phrases in his Faithful Men song. One of the things that's needed is men persistent unto the end, whose feet are secure. You know, for Brother Enos, time is over. But as we, from time to time, sing that song, may that be a burden for each of us. May we all be faithful men and women for the Lord, persistent unto the end. And when we step out of the realm of time into eternity, that we can do so with no regrets, with a vision of heaven before us, and a place left behind that we endeavored to fill as God would have us to fill. Shall we kneel for prayer? Father in heaven, creator of life and all things that we see, we bow in your presence here this morning at the close of this worship service, thanking you for who you are, thanking you for being our God, and having extended out our days to see another week. And Father, as we consider life, as we consider your desire that all would come to know you, that no one would perish, we just thank you for salvation. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the shed blood and the empty tomb. All these, that we can experience the reality of walking with you, redeemed and in peace, and that a burden of a child of yours would be to reach out and share this good news through life, through example, using words if necessary to reach a fallen world. Lord, we thank you for this group here this morning. We pray for each person here. We think of the children, those that are growing up in Christian homes. They have fathers and mothers who love them, who want them, and desire to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we just pray for them, each of them, as they learn, as they grow, as they mature. May they come to know you. May they learn by observing the adults in their lives what it means to be a Christian. We pray for the youth, those that have reached maybe the point where they quit growing physically, but Father, may they find growing grace to be an ongoing reality in their life. And we just lift each of them up to you as they navigate the years of life that bring challenges, the years of life that sometimes bring questions. May they thoughtfully and prayerfully live each day. We pray for the parents here, those that have families, those that have children that they are nurturing, training, providing for. Father, we realize and understand that at times parenting feels overwhelming. Parenting feels like Solomon's view of life. It seems to just be an endless circle. And yet, through the structure of time, through your vision of family, and through the provisions that you have made, there is a way that you would have us to go. And may each parent here find fulfillment, find satisfaction, and find strength to faithfully continue on doing today the same mundane things that they've done yesterday and the day before and the day before, realizing that eternity alone will reveal the full extent of their efforts. And Father, as we continue on through life, as we reach the sunset years, we just lift each person here up to you and pray for them. Father, we need their presence in our midst. Experience that they've gained over the years, the prayers that they offer on our behalf. Many times unnoticed, but yet so needful. And we just say thank you for this group of people. As we journey through time, may we lovingly, prayerfully, and with a Christ-like attitude, encourage one another on toward the goal. And when finished with us here in this life, a home in heaven is what we pray through the name of Jesus, who has taught us to pray, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I can say amen to what we've been taught today. We've been very kindly encouraged and instructed from God's word. I'm thankful for that. So I thank the Lord for his goodness to us and this morning, and as Brother Laverne mentioned, in lengthening out our days. And also thankful to the brethren for sharing. Thank you, and thank you to each one for being here this morning. God bless you. The thoughts and the call to worship and the devotional, I guess, to me, just ran together a little. Arnold mentioned or read there from Psalm 139, and the thought of no matter where we go, God is with us. God goes with us. We can't hide from God. He's there. And then Jonas read from Joshua 1:9, and it says there that, "For I will be with thee whithersoever thou goest." And then again in Isaiah 43, it talks about when thou passest through the waters, it says, "I will be with thee." And through the fire, "I will be with thee." And that just struck me. You know, we can be of good courage this morning because, as Jonas mentioned, if God be for us, who can be against us? So I was encouraged with that thought. So thank you, brethren. And thank you, Laverne, for the message. On time, I was, like I said, encouraged, but I also was struck with some sobering thoughts. You know, we don't always see what we think we see. Darkness distracts and distorts reality, but light clears things up. I want to remember that. I don't always see things as I think I see them. It's just a good reminder for me. And time. Time gives structure to life. I like the thought of, blessed is the person who knows what time it is. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. You know, just do I know what time it is in my life? That was a thought that I want to take home with me. God knows what he's doing in our lives. It's not just by chance that we're here this morning, but it's the working of God. Then the purpose of time, I guess, what struck me or what stayed with me was the thought of that, no, right now is the time that we have. And I know I've said this before, probably, or maybe more than once, but I just thought of it again as Laverne was sharing. You know, the most dangerous word in the Bible is the word tomorrow. In a spiritual sense, tomorrow is the most dangerous word there is. But the safest word, and Laverne mentioned it, is the word today. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So today is the time, now is the time to redeem the time. Now is the time to take hold of the opportunities that we have that God gives to us. Time will run out for me someday. And it will run out for you. That was a sobering thought. I think we all know that, but it just, again, it struck me this morning. So how does that affect the way, the choices that I make from day to day? It should, to me, it's a sobering thought, and it should affect the choices that I make in life. So thank you, Laverne, for challenging us this morning again. announcements. You can find my page. The general fund collection is today, and the Lord willing, next Sunday we'll hold the building fund collection. For the order of service next week, it'll be Ethan's turn for the call to worship, Josh's turn for devotions, and Marcus will be having the message. Group 2 sings this afternoon at Stonegate Village. For the young people tonight, singing is at Gary's. Next Sunday, singing is still to be determined, as I understand it. So I'm sure it'll be put on the phone line or something. We'll let you know. It'll be Laverne's turn, but they plan to be gone, so they will be finding someone else. Brotherhood meeting this coming Wednesday evening for the brethren here. Brotherhood meeting this coming Wednesday evening. Thought I'd mention the minister ordination at Cornerstone is next weekend. They'll be taking nominations Friday evening with the ordination Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. If I understood Delton correctly, they will be having a prayer service Saturday evening, and that's when they will give out the names, if I understood correctly. And also, Delton wondered if the ministry here could come and help out next weekend. So Laverne and I plan to be in Indiana next Sunday, and Marcus will be, as I mentioned, we'll be filling in here at home. So just keep us in your prayers as you think of us. And I thought I'd mention to Daryl and Regina plan to be leaving this week, Saturday, I believe. They'll be heading to Arizona to begin treatments there. So let's remember them in prayer this week, and they, as I understand, will be maybe several months there. So let's lift them to the throne of grace, that God's will can be done, and that let's pray for healing. And let's also pray for the family here at home, as they stay at home here and there's an absence in the home. Let's remember them. That's all that I have. Is there anything else this morning? If not, why don't we stand for a word of prayer? Kind Heavenly Father, we just pause here in your presence this morning with some specific needs on our hearts. Lord, we just think of the upcoming ordination in Indiana. Just, Lord, we just pray that your will can be done, that another leader can be chosen, can be a blessing to the Church of Jesus Christ, and that in this generation and also for generations to come. Lord, just thinking of the services next weekend, just be with the speakers, just give them wisdom, whether here at home or beyond, just be with them, give them your spirit and your words to speak. Lord, just think now of Daryl and Regina as they leave this week for Arizona. Lord, we just be with them, be near to them. Lord, if it's not against your will, we just pray for healing and that you can show yourself strong on their behalf. Lord, we pray for grace, enabling grace for each day through the sunshine and through the rain. Lord, just be with the family here at home. Just be with them as they cope with mom and dad being gone. Give them strength as well and grace for each day as they go through their lives. So, Lord, we just commit each one to you and to your word of grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For a closing song, I thought maybe we could sing 615, We Are Going Down the Valley. It's in light of the message today, and so we think of that in the coming week.